Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Carbon 14 is everywhere it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, carbon 14 does not lie.
And it doesn't. Fred, how long ago did we do our first show about carbon 14 here on Real Science Radio?
It was about 15 years ago.
Come on.
Right about the time we started Real Science Radio.
So it's time really to let the audience get an update.
I think it's time for an update.
Yeah, on how powerful the evidence is, the argument is for creationism with carbon 14. So many high school students, college students, they think, oh, the proof the earth is billions of years old is carbon 14. And that stuff only lasts thousands of years, it decays.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was never an argument for the age of the Earth.
No, even by old Earth atheist physicists, nuclear physicists, they know carbon 14 can't show an old Earth.
Yep.
But you and I want to play some audio that comes from a conversation I had with a famous paleontologist, and he's famous because of those dinosaur movies.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yeah,
and the name of the guy's Dr. Jack Horner.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be that guy that's in the movie, the paleontologist expert.
Yeah. Yeah, it was modeled after him. Yeah, Michael Crichton, he created this character, and he modeled it significantly after Jack Horner.
Yep.
And when life imitated art, Jack Horner's crew up in Montana, he was at Montana State University for years. They're the ones that found the first soft tissue T-Rex and published in the journal Science and really turned the world of paleontology upside down.
Yeah, that's where Mary Schweitzer worked, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And she's so famous discovering dinosaur soft tissue in specimen after specimen from dinosaur fossils around the world. And what? There are over 50 papers now published in leading journals, science journals like Nature and Paleontology and all, documenting actual biological material. But and this show is about carbon 14.
It is. But just to say, you've created the most exhaustive list on all these discoveries of soft tissue.
Yes.
It's really great.
Yeah, you could find the whole list. Actually, there are over 100 papers published of dinosaur or other, like mosasaur.
Yep.
That's an extinct reptile. Of dinosaur soft tissue papers published in leading journals, it's at BF List. That's Biomaterial Fossil List. So bflist.rsr.org. We'll link to it from today's show summary at rsr.org. But Fred, I want to air the audio from Jack Horner when we called and asked him, Jack, if we give you money, and we kept upping the amount of money we offered. I forget. We'll hear what the first, like $6,000.
Yeah.
$8,000. We finally sent him a grant letter for $23,000 payable to the Museum of the Rockies, where he was a curator.
Yep.
And, well, let's let the audience hear. I dial the museum and get the paleontology department, and the receptionist passes the call on to Jack Horner. So this call, by the way, has gone all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of views on YouTube, and some of the world's leading scientists have played and talked about this phone call. Let's hear it.
Paleo.
Hello, could I speak to Jack Horner?
Yeah, who's calling?
This is Bob Enyart with KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. That's Bob Enyart.
Yeah, let me transfer you over to his office. I think he should be in there right now.
So there should be no carbon-14 in dinosaur bones, right, Fred?
Absolutely not, if they're millions of years old.
Yeah.
Hello, Jack. This is Bob Enyart with KLTT Radio in Denver.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
Good.
Jack, I sent a letter to Bob Harmon a few weeks back offering the museum a grant of $8,000 to do a carbon 14 day test of that soft tissue T-Rex you guys dug up. And he said he would forward that to you. And I'm wondering if you saw that or considered it.
Well, carbon 14 doesn't work on something that old.
I understand that. And normally we wouldn't expect to get soft tissue out of a T-Rex skeleton either. But sometimes science proceeds by crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And you guys might have other things you'd like to carbon 14 at the same time. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, I've been able to raise a little more money. So that's up to $10,000 now that we'd be honored to give you guys if you would consider doing that test.
Well, we can't do that test.
You can't do that?
No.
Do you mean the museum doesn't have the laboratory?
We certainly don't.
Okay, well, we're happy to pay the expense of having a lab do the test in addition to the $10,000 to the museum.
Do you know how carbon 14 works?
Yeah, I'm familiar, and I realize it's useless for anything over maybe 50,000 years or so. But I've done a talk show in Denver for 15 years, and there's a group of folks interested in science. Of course, that discovery caught their attention, and they thought, well, it'd be logical to do this, to just go ahead and do it, even though nobody would be inclined to do it, just like nobody would be inclined to look for soft tissue inside of a T-Rex.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're still trying to figure out what it is, what it's actually made of.
Right, exactly, whether it's hemoglobin or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Jack, is the amount too small that it's just not worth the consideration?
No, that's not it.
Okay. What if I were able to raise more money?
No, that the amount of money has nothing to do with it. Because carbon 14 doesn't work on something like this,
right?
Your results that you get could be all over the place.
Well, they should be infinity. It should be not datable. In other words, it shouldn't come back saying it's 25,000 years old.
Right.
It should be infinity. And so that'll be a worthwhile.
Well, infinity isn't exactly what you get.
Okay.
I mean, it's like trying to date a piece of concrete.
Right.
You wouldn't have to have carbon in it.
Right. You wouldn't use carbon 14. Now, the skeleton is not fossilized. Isn't that true, or largely not?
Well, it's you know, the bone is made of calcium phosphate.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're still trying to figure out what the actual soft tissue is.
Right. And see, we were hoping that a test like this would just add another bit of scientific information that you would have at your disposal. And also, in that grant letter, we asked if it could be a blind test with five different specimens. And therefore, then the museum could test four other specimens that you might want to have carbon 14 dated. And so you could put it all in the same batch, and those testing then will pay the cost of that. That'll be free to the museum plus the $10,000 grant.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from here.
Sure.
All right. Obviously, your group is a group of creationists.
Yes.
And the spin they can get off of it,
right,
doing it, is
well,
not going to help us.
Yeah. So even though it's just a scientific test, they're not asking for voodoo
or
anything.
It's not actually a scientific test. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Carbon 14 dating something with soft tissue in it. Jack, if I could raise $20,000, would it be worth?
I will talk to Mary Schweitzer about it.
Okay. I appreciate that. And how about this? I'll resend you the grant letter with the amount of $20,000 in it. And then you could talk to Mary and we'll see where it goes.
I want to know what group is sponsoring it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's
I need some really specific details about.
Sure.
And don't just, you know, tell it to me straight. Okay.
Of course. I've hosted a daily talk show for 15 years. We're on a 50,000 watt AM station, KLTT. Mm-hmm. And there's a local church here, Denver Bible Church, mm-hmm. that's offered to help. But we also have pledges from any number of individuals in the Denver community.
Okay.
So we could, if you guys agree, we could send you the check within 24 hours.
Okay. Well, let me talk to Mary and let me just talk to a few people.
Okay.
Because I don't want to, you know, I can't afford to have it turn into a circus.
Right. Well, I do understand that, and I appreciate your time. So,
okay. I will see Mary this next week.
Oh, that's fabulous. I'd be happy to call you back in 2 weeks from now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much, Jack.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
So, Fred, that was loaded.
With, oh, man, yeah. And it's great, great then, you know, today as it was then.
Yeah, really fun, right? And eventually, an allegedly 80-million-year-old mosasaur bone was carbon-dated, and it was published in one of the world's leading journals, Plus One, Public Library of Science. And they were shocked because they found exactly what we knew they would find. They found 5% modern carbon. It was loaded with carbon-14, and the carbon-14 should have decayed if the whole world was a ball of nothing but carbon-14. Solid sphere of carbon-14. Do you recall the number? How long would it take for the whole world to decay so it's no longer carbon-14, now it's nitrogen-13?
It'd be less than 1 million years. And aren't dinosaurs supposed to be like, you know, 60, 80 million years?
Yeah, 68 million years, 150 million years. Dinosaurs allegedly lived a long time ago in the Jurassic. And we knew, Fred, that their dinosaur bones would be loaded with carbon-14. So eventually, Jack Horner said, no, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I think he knew, too, that it was going to have carbon-14
in
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the fact that the mosasaur bone did, and that's published.
Yeah.
And we link to that. We'll link to that from today's show summary, which will be at rsr.org/carbon. So you said earlier, carbon-14 doesn't lie. We'll need to explain the science of carbon-14 as the show progresses. But carbon-14 is everywhere it shouldn't be, and it can't be an anomaly. Many atheists, when Lawrence Krauss was on the show, world-renowned physicist. He's been me-too'd out of the business practically, though.
So has Jack Horner, by the way.
Yeah, Jack Horner, too. Me-too'd out. These guys are bad.
Yep.
So, Fred, Lawrence Krauss said that, well, when you find carbon-14 in a dinosaur bone or in a diamond, it's an anomaly. But it can't be an anomaly because it's not here or there. It's everywhere it shouldn't be. That no longer fits into the definition of an anomaly.
That excuse doesn't fly. We're going to cover some of the excuses that they've tried to come up with.
Yes.
Yeah, but Bob, realize Jack Horner said it also, it's not a scientific test to carbon date things.
That's right.
I mean, he was really squirming.
Yeah.
But Bob, before
so
we...
why did they date the mosasaur bone
exactly.
if it's not a scientific test?
He was afraid of what it was going to find. And, you know, a circus, well, no, it would expose the truth. But anyways, Bob, this is actually an important month. We're in our telethon.
Yes.
And we're trying, our goal is $50,000.
Yes, and we're approaching $10,000. We're so humbled, we're so thankful. We only air on a single radio station, just like 15 years ago, Dell and Jack Horner. We're on Denver's AM 670 KLTT. So, because we're on one station, that does make it more difficult to raise the funds we need to keep these offices going, the studio, yep, the staff. So please, if you possibly can, help out. You could go to our website, rsr.org, click on the store. There's a banner at the top for the telethon, or call us 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278.
Yeah, so we're a fifth of the way there.
Yes.
So hopefully by next Friday, we'll be, you know, at least half the way there, if not more.
That would be great. Super.
Yep. All kinds of great materials in the store. And, you know, we bragged about them before, but they really are super good.
Yes.
We only have the best stuff there, really. They've been very well vetted.
Yeah, there's so many creation resources, as in thousands.
Oh, tons.
And in our store, our goal is to have the best of the best. And that's what people will find. 30-day money-back guarantee. Folks will love it all.
Yep.
So, carbon 14.
Yeah, so the element carbon, Bob, it's like all elements. It comes in various flavors or weights.
Okay.
And the standard carbon 12 is stable. Do you know that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. In other words, it doesn't decay.
Yep.
And carbon 13 is also stable.
Yep. But the most famous isotope of carbon is called carbon 14.
Yeah, everybody's heard of that.
Yeah. It's unstable and it decays pretty rapidly in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
I mean, it's like 5,700 years, but that's rapid.
Yes.
You know, when you consider things that have
radioactive decay. That's its half-life. So if you have 1,000 carbon 14 atoms, in 6,000 years, you'll be down to 500.
Yeah.
In another 6,000 years, you'll be down to 250.
Yep.
So because carbon-14 decays relatively so rapidly, and these fossils, evolution claims, they're so old, millions or even billions of years old, there should be no carbon-14 in this stuff, except for, and we'll talk about, is there contamination and other factors, which if someone's not already familiar, they will really understand the issues of carbon-14 through this program. But if you have plenty of carbon-14 in a specimen in quantities far above a modern laboratory's margin of error, right? When they process and they measure, they might make an error. And a little later, we'll say what their errors, what the margin of error is. And Fred, when a lab adds contamination, it is so fascinating. We'll actually report to the audience how many atoms of carbon-14 would be in a contamination. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And it's been studied for decades. So they find plenty of carbon-14 in dinosaur bones and pretty much everywhere in specimens allegedly millions or billions of years old. So like the discoveries you and I talk about often of dinosaur soft tissue, where it's bone, not stone, or some of these fossils, they're largely turned to stone, but they still have soft blood vessels and blood cells, red blood cells from a hadrosaur, from a T-Rex, and so on. Like that, carbon-14 is powerful, hard scientific evidence that these specimens, these fossils, are not millions, but only thousands of years old.
So yeah, Bob, carbon-14 is a huge friend to creationists. It's a great piece
enormous
of evidence. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think carbon-14, you know, is a problem because, you know, the Earth is millions of years old, billions of years old. Carbon-14, because of its short half-life, it should not even be around after, like we've said, really 100,000 years.
Yeah, 50 to 100,000 years. You're down to less than one atom in a typical specimen, say a bone or a diamond, you should have one atom or less of carbon-14 by 100,000 years.
Yep.
So researchers, when they find so much, like we young Earth creationists, we say, well, these things are only thousands of years old. They're not millions. So you're going to find loads of carbon-14.
Yep.
Well, what do they find? Loads of carbon-14. Yep. So then they need secondary assumptions. And we'll let the audience know what they assume. Researchers, they try to explain the radiocarbon, that's carbon-14, radioactive, in allegedly older samples by saying, well, maybe it's measurement error, maybe it's contamination, or maybe it's something called neutron capture. We'll get to that too. But Fred, let's right now address one of those factors, contamination. So the evolutionary scientist who tends to be an atheist and says the world is 4.5 billion years old, they want bacteria to rescue their carbon 14 dates. They imagine that these dinosaur bones, that bacteria have bored through the bones, and when they date the bone then, carbon 14, they're getting contamination from the bacteria because the bacteria absorbs carbon 14 from the atmosphere and brings modern carbon with it. And they say that's why we're getting these dates that are impossible. Dinosaur bones can't have this much carbon 14. Aha, it's contamination from bacteria.
Yeah.
That's a major argument they have. And that argument was slaughtered by the journal Nature in the year 2017.
Yep. So it reported, this is an isotope study, and it found that such bacteria does not affect the bone's radiocarbon content. So why is that, Bob?
Well, it turns out that the bacteria feeds on carbon. It metabolizes, it consumes the carbon that's in the bone.
Wait a minute, not the carbon in the atmosphere.
Right.
That they believed was the case.
Yeah.
That was their rescue device.
Right.
And now nature's reporting, nope, it's not the carbon. They're feeding on carbon in the bone.
It's like just the top 1/100th of an inch, the surface of a fossil specimen, is where the bacteria can affect the date of the fossil. But once and these are boring bacteria.
Yep.
Like if you learn about them in biology class, you fall asleep. They're boring. Yeah. In other words, they drill holes through the bone.
Yeah, and this really does happen.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. But what the researchers published in the journal Nature found out is when the bacteria are in the bone, and think of how small bacteria is, right? They're so tiny, they get inside your cells.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Yep.
When they're inside the bone, they're getting all their carbon from the bone itself. They're not getting it from the atmosphere. They're not building a conveyor belt and having all their bacteria friends transport carbon 14 atoms from the atmosphere deep into the bone. They're not doing that. They need carbon. They're getting it from the bone. So, Fred, if bacteria were to almost completely replace a fossil, it wouldn't change the date, the carbon 14 date. It wouldn't change the amount of carbon 14 because a bacteria doesn't perform a nuclear process on an atom.
Yeah.
Right? So when a bacteria consumes a carbon 12, carbon 13, carbon 14 atom, those stay carbon 12, 13, 14. So it turns out they've lost their great hope that bacteria would load a dinosaur fossil with carbon 14.
Yeah, that one's gone. And this was from the magazine Nature. This isn't some creationist publication. So that one's toast.
Yeah. Now, this topic is more technical, a bit more difficult to understand than a lot of the science we've reported in the last 15 years. So we've decided to share some factoids, some carbon 14 factoids. We got a list here. How many do we have?
About 14.
Okay. 14 factoids on carbon 14. Why don't we read the first four and then we could discuss them a bit?
Okay. So our atmosphere has one carbon 14 atom for every 1 trillion carbon atoms.
Whoa.
So that's one in a trillion.
So all the nitrogen and the oxygen and the carbon in the atmosphere, if you just looked at the carbon, for every trillion carbon atoms, one is carbon 14.
Exactly. Only one small piece is radioactive.
The next factoid, unstable radiocarbon, that's carbon 14, decays with a half-life of 5,730 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, again, in the grand scheme of things, is fairly quick.
Yeah.
Okay. A gram of carbon has about 50 sextillion carbon atoms.
Carbon atoms. When I think about a gram, I think of like a pea, a green pea, or a kernel of corn. And so if you have a gram of carbon, 50 sextillion, that's million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion atoms. That's a lot of atoms and a little bit of carbon. And then finally, Fred, the next factoid is about you.
Yeah. So I have about 10 octillion total atoms in my body.
You do.
1 octillion of carbon.
Right, because we're about 10% carbon. So if you have 10 octillion total atoms in your body, Fred, congratulations, you have about 1 octillion carbon atoms. That's quite...
I lost 5 pounds the last month, you know, might be, you know,
okay, you have 0.96 octillion...
That's right.
...carbon atoms. So thinking about these for a moment, our atmosphere having 1 carbon-14 atom for every trillion carbon atoms, it's awesome that scientists can even measure this stuff. Imagine how precise your equipment has to be. But evolutionists say that creationists are science stoppers, and if it was up to us, they wouldn't be able to measure anything. But these atheists, it's because of them they could measure all this stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, Bob, this Professor Taylor, he's a worldwide expert on this stuff.
Yeah. World-renowned, one of the best in this field.
Yeah. And so when the media tries to push this idea that creationists aren't scientists and they can't do real science, you know, that really is propaganda. It's fake news.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Steve is one of the world's leading experts on mass spectrometry.
Yep.
And that's exactly the technology you use. In fact, his department and a private venture spinoff that he runs, they're among the world's leaders in this technology. And he's a young earth creationist, Bible-believing Christian.
Yeah, and this is modern technology that can really precisely measure
yes.
the number of carbon-14 atoms.
It's so awesome. So, Fred, we said that carbon-14 has a half-life of 6,000 years about. We described what that means. So you got 1,000 carbon atoms, 6,000 years later, you'd have 500. And so when that was discovered by this guy named Libby, he realized, hey, we could use that perhaps to date things, because when an organism is alive, it's taking in nutrients from the biosphere. Mm-hmm. And in the atmosphere, carbon-14 is being made in the atmosphere. Yep. And we're at sort of an equilibrium of sorts, not really, but of 1 carbon-14 atom per trillion. So if you have trees that are growing, their leaves are absorbing from the soil carbon at that ratio. But yep. once the tree dies and its branches are laying down or they get buried, that biomass, it's no longer bringing in new carbon-14 molecules.
Yeah.
So they're decaying. And the idea is you measure what percentage of the carbon in that old wood, maybe it was used to make a throne for a pharaoh 3,800 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So you measure the carbon in the wood in that throne and you see how many carbon-14 atoms is there. And then you get an idea of how long ago that wood was cut down.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So Fred, you're a big guy. You carry around about 50 billion radiocarbon atoms.
50 billion.
50 billion. That's a lot. But we've already said that carbon-14 decays with a half-life of 6,000 years. So if you do the math, how many carbon atoms in your body will decay every second? How many?
So Bob, there's about 2,500 decays of carbon-14 to nitrogen every second in my body.
Don't tell Sandy.
So right now I'm creating nitrogen and I'm losing carbon-14.
Yeah. Don't tell your wife.
Okay.
It sounds scary, doesn't it?
Every 2,500 second, a second.
If you have a carbon atom in an important nanomachine in your body and it decays into a gas, into nitrogen, it's like, uh-oh, there's going to be a hole here somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's not great. This is a bad thing that happens in our bodies. But hopefully we're getting a sense of this discipline. And here's what they call 100% modern carbon. If you get a specimen, maybe it's 2 years old, maybe it's 2,000 years old, or the evolutionist might say it's 2 million or 2 billion years old, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a diamond, they might say it's 2 billion years old. And they measure and they count the carbon-14 atoms as compared to the rest of the atoms. if they find one carbon-14 atom out of a trillion carbon atoms, this is what they call it. They say it's 100% modern carbon.
Yeah.
They say the whole thing, it's modern. If you have one out of a trillion or carbon-14, they say, well, it's new. It's like from this year. It's brand new. It's not old.
Yeah, this is a super important factoid here to understand.
Yeah, so eat your broccoli, Fred. Steam it lightly, chill it, and serve it with olive oil
and
lemon juice.
Don't eat it raw. That stuff's nasty raw.
You'll love it. When we eat vegetation, or when animals eat vegetation, we're at the top of the food chain, right?
Yep.
And Fred, vegetarians, I didn't claw my way to the top of the food chain to be eating lettuce. I'll tell you that right now. But when we do, then we are taking in carbon-14 at a rate of one atom per trillion carbon atoms.
Yeah, yep.
So
while we're eating carbon, we're also taking in one in a trillion carbon-14 every time.
Yes. So here's just a little math. You know, multiply both sides of the equation by 100. Mm-hmm. If you have 100 carbon-14 atoms in 100 trillion, then they refer to that, again, as 100% modern carbon. But if you have 50 carbon-14 atoms in 100 trillion, they refer to that as 50% modern carbon. Really makes sense. And if a listener is having a hard time visualizing it, just go to rsr.org/carbon-14 or /14C, and you could see these all in a list of factoids, and you'll see how they measure how many carbon atoms are carbon-14, and they say that tells us your percent modern carbon. So if a fossil has 50% modern carbon, here's how they interpret it. They say it's about 6,000 years before present.
Yeah, and Bob, that's the half-life of carbon-14.
Right. Exactly. So now let's talk about how good the labs are at counting these atoms, because basically the technology is so good, they're actually counting carbon-14 atoms. That's pretty much remarkable. How fabulous the technology is, and we have to thank Steve Taylor in part.
Yeah, so the best labs accurately count carbon-14 atoms to even 0.001 of a percent. Now, a percent is 1 out of 100.
Yeah,
this
so
is
this
0.001.
This is 1,000th of a percent modern carbon.
Yep.
That is extraordinarily accurate. And published lab measurements show that when they process their specimens, they introduce contamination. Now, how much? They introduce 1/10 to 3/10 of a percent contamination. And so now we're going to let the audience know how many actual atoms a lab will introduce when they process a specimen. This is so fascinating.
Yep. So lab contamination adds just one carbon-14 atom to 250 and 500 trillion carbon atoms.
Yes. If you have a specimen that has 500 trillion carbon atoms, and normally it would have 250 of those, are radiocarbon.
Yep.
Instead, because of the processing contamination, they'll have 251. They'll add one to that quantity. So you end up with not 50% modern carbon, but 50.2% modern carbon. That's how good the labs are.
Yep. It's awesome. Okay, Bob, the next factoid, carbon-14 ages get progressively significantly inflated
as the bones get older.
Exactly.
Yes. So we got a couple examples of this.
Yeah. So bones from, for example, 873 AD, they dated to actually 200 years earlier than that.
Okay. And we'll provide the link so people could look at the research documents. But in other words, you have a historical setting where historians say, okay, we know this wood came from about 870 AD, and they carbon date it and they say, ooh, we get about 670 AD,
yep.
200 years too early, but it doesn't end there.
Yeah. So, you know, Pompeii, right?
Yeah, I mean, we went there, our Bible tour of Greece.
Yeah.
some years back with Vesuvius erupting. And
oh, yeah.
Slaughtering people. My wife, Cheryl, she still talks about how awkward it is to see the people who were killed.
I know. Yeah.
And you could see their form. Mm-hmm. They're killed in the ash. It was really horrific.
Yeah, we know historically when that happened, right? So in 79 AD.
Yeah.
Is when Pompeii was destroyed.
So we should have gotten those kind of ages, but instead we end up with 2,400 to 5,800 years before present.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of about 2,000 years.
Yeah, which is, again, 79 AD.
Yeah.
So, yep.
It's 2,400 to 5,800 years before present, BP, they call it. So there are factors, some of which we can identify, Fred, that are causing carbon-14 dates to be exaggerated as you go back in history.
Yep.
But that is irrelevant to the bigger picture when you realize that if everything has carbon-14 in it, these things cannot be millions and billions of years old.
Yeah.
Because they should be carbon dead.
Possibly the best argument against an old Earth. If it's not the best, it's way up there.
Yeah, it's fabulous. So old carbon-14 dates are progressively too old, and there's way too much carbon-14 in diamonds.
Wait a minute, diamonds.
The hardest contamination.
Aren't they the hardest substance?
Hardest naturally occurring substance on Earth. And Fred, they're loaded with carbon-14.
Yeah.
And
they're supposed to be what? Not millions of years old, but billions.
A billion or 2 billion years old. Because of the false account by geologists of how diamonds are formed and how they come to the surface. And Fred, it's real easy for us to say, well, if you guys are right, there shouldn't be any carbon-14 in them. And if they're loaded with carbon-14, they can't be billions of years old. They have to be young. And lo and behold, they have a lot of carbon-14. And so if somebody says it's contamination, okay, the diamonds are hard. So if the lab technician has a bologna and mayo sandwich for lunch, he's not going to get mayonnaise inside the diamond.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But if he's totally incompetent, right, then you're going to have some numbers that are way off the chart. It's easy. A forensic analysis of data, generally, when you do thousands and thousands of tests, as they've done with carbon-14 or even a million tests by now, you can see the data that's not data. It's just garbage. But dinosaur bones, for example, they all come in within a range.
Yep.
And you could tell these labs around the world, they're all not eating bologna and mayo sandwiches.
Exactly. Yeah.
And mixing it up with the dinosaur bones. They're not doing it. So, Fred, if you're available, we could do a part two next week and get into some of the nitty-gritty of what is claimed, because the evolutionists, they look at the data and they say, well, we know these specimens cannot have all this radiocarbon.
Yep.
And there it is. So they try to.
Huge problem for them.
Enormous problem. Yep. So they try to explain it away by secondary, tertiary assumptions. But it's not only the carbon-14, because the dinosaur bones that are loaded with carbon-14, they also have original biological material.
Yeah.
They have dinosaur blood vessels and blood cells and proteins, and they even have DNA. From a T-Rex.
Yep.
This is so exciting.
And DNA is so remarkably fragile. For it to have survived millions of years, there's no way.
68 million years for the youngest.
Yep.
So it's not only the biological tissue that should have all decomposed eons ago, but it's also the nuclear evidence. So you have biology and nuclear physics, two powerful fields coming together to say that the young Earth creationists are right and the secular evolutionists are wrong. These specimens are not millions of years old, and that means the rock layers that we dig them up in, they're not millions of years old, because they were all laid down rapidly in the global flood about 5,000 years ago, and so all these specimens still have carbon-14 in them because they're actually young.
Yep. So carbon-14 is a great argument for creationists. You know, I remember I was on a field trip and we're in this cave and there were stalactites in this cave. And the tour guide's like, you know, these are, you know, 1.78 million years old. And I'm like, how much you want to bet there's carbon 14 in it? And so then we got in a conversation afterwards, because a lot of these people who give these tours, and they're, you know, they may even have a science background.
Yeah.
They don't even know of this argument. So many people don't know of it, but it's so powerful for creationists. So if people can remember that carbon 14 is a great friend.
It's a powerful argument.
Very powerful.
Now, with the stalactites and the stalagmites, so many scientists are backing off of those claims of millions of years old, like at Carlsbad Caverns. It's National Park Service there, Fred.
Yep.
And the argument, let's see if there's carbon-14 in it. Well, that you need carbon to see if there's carbon-14 in it. But let me quote to you from The Sign. Our family has gone to Carlsbad Cavern. I seem to recall. Have you guys gone there?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Years it's ago. So fabulous yep. to go. And they changed the sign at the cave entrance, but they didn't change it once. They changed it repeatedly. We have this documented at rsr.org/list. This is fascinating. So we have the publication in which U.S. Forest Service geologist Jerry Trout is being interviewed, and he gives the history of it. He says, at first, the sign at the cave entrance claimed that formation took, quote, 260 million years. Then they changed it because there was a lot of trouble with that. They said it took 8 million years.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah, they're getting closer to the truth. Then they changed it again to 2 million years. And then, you know what they did? They took the sign
down
altogether.
Well, good for them.
And we were listening in the audio tour. We went there back in 2005, Cheryl and I and the kids. And we heard on the official Carlsbad audio tour, which now accurately states that, quote, the rate of formation depends on the amount of available water.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
That is so
neat. That is good.
So time and again, the icons of evolution are falling.
Yep.
The iconoclasts, like Bob and Fred, are smashing them and letting people know that the hard scientific evidence overwhelmingly, like carbon-14 and dinosaur soft tissue, is a testament to the truth of God's word, beginning with Genesis and the global flood in Noah's day, that Jesus was right when he said God made us male and female at the beginning of creation, at the beginning. So the earth is not billions of years old. It is exactly as the Bible says it is. And that tells us, because the history of the Bible's right and the earth is young, there cannot be an atheistic origin for the earth. It's not possible.
Nope.
A young earth is a 100% antidote to atheism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Right? So Bob, next week, part two, and we'll talk about more of their rescue devices.
Yes.
And by then,
with carbon 14.
I have a feeling by then, so 2,500 a second, let's see, by next week, if we do the math, I'll have expelled quite a bit more carbon-14.
Yeah, Fred.
And I'll have a lot more nitrogen.
Be careful with that. It is dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And it's not the way God intended.
No.
So, right now, our telethon, 1-800-8-NYART, that's the phone number, and the website, kgov.com, tonight, there is a talk on global warming at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
I'm looking forward to that.
And the speaker is the director of meteorology from the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. So
you would
think
that the Air Force would want to know about climate.
Yes.
You know, so this guy's a big-time expert.
He's the real deal.
Yep. And he's going to have a talk on global warming. And if you can't make it, you know, I'll be there, and I'm going to be Zooming the meeting. Go to youngearth.org.
Youngearth.org.
And there'll be instructions on how to get there if you want to go in person.
Yes.
And if you can't make it, there'll be instructions on how to hook up to the Zoom meeting.
Just awesome. Thanks for doing that, Fred.
Sure.
So this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. By the handiwork of God, tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real, that's what I'm talking about.
talking about.